Now, before we start talking about the Ecolator Academy in earnest, I would like you just to meet each of the students that are here. Two are going into their senior years. One is going into their junior year. They're all from North Allegheny High School. So if you could just introduce yourself, maybe tell us some of the things you enjoy doing, just a little bit about yourself so we get to know you. And we can just go right around, meaning we start with Alicia.
Hi, my name is Alicia Cassana. I am going into my senior year, and I enjoy drawing, running. I'm into running a lot this summer, and also I write a lot of poems now.
My name is Rebecca Zhao, and I'm a rising senior at North Allegheny Senior High School. In my free time, I like to swim. I also really like painting and reading, and also just hang out with my friends and listening to music.
My name is Vinay Prathap. I'm a rising junior at North Allegheny High School. And in my free time, I actually do Carnatic singing, which is a traditional Indian type of singing. So I love doing that. And I'm really interested in medicine, so I love volunteering at the hospital and shadowing.
Tell me, what was the name of the type of singing?
Oh, yeah, again? It's called Carnatic.
And what is there a characteristic of it?
I don't know how to explain it, I guess, in normal music terms, but, like, it's more, like, I guess in the minor type key, I guess, if you, like, want to explain it in here, in, like, this type of music. But I've been doing it for about, like, 10 years, and it's, I guess, a big part of my life. Yep.
That's good to know. Are you involved with groups that?
I currently, because I'm actually training for a performance, I'm currently singing by myself, but I am also involved in groups as well.
Well, we should talk later. It would be great to have you, if you're interested, come and share that with us, mm-hmm. whether it be yourself or as part of a group. So. You know, they say a picture's worth a thousand words. Having you sing would be a wonderful addition to the program. So mm-hmm. we could talk about doing that sometime. Now, the Ecolator Academy, can you all just explain what that is and how it works? You can just jump right in.
Okay, so Ecolators is run by Alyssa. Shout out to Alyssa. She's amazing. I found this out through a friend, but it's run at FIPS, and basically every week, it depends on what cohort you pick, Wednesday or Thursday, you get to do different activities that help you widen your mindset on how to help the ecosystem and how to be an environmental advocate. And it makes you see a lot of different things that you normally wouldn't think about that are problems in the world pertaining to the environment, and it helps us become more aware and then have more knowledge to help the world.
So it really expands your way of thinking and maybe what you choose to focus on.
Yeah.
Would either of you like to add anything?
I think we're all very interested in the aspect of environmental justice and also the environment around us. So I think Ecolator is such like a good program in order, because I think we can all like learn more about it, obviously, and we can be better leaders about it. So I think Ecolator is a really good way for us to be able to get more involved with the community and also speak out more about these issues, because I think a lot of these issues are, a lot of people know about them, but I don't think they quite understand it or want to like do more or know what to do about it. So I think it's a really good way for us to spread more awareness.
Can you break down environmental justice and how it impacts people? There are some folks who hear those two words and they kind of just go in one ear and out the other, in part because we don't think about it very often.
So I think I would say environmental justice is more like everyone having equal access to the various like things that like make environment. Like, for example, let's say you live in a community where the air quality is really bad, and someone else lives in a better quality neighborhood. So it's very unjust. So we want like to have like a equal just like equal, everyone has to be like equal, and everyone has to have like equal environmental justice, basically saying that like everyone has equal access to all these different things.
You put that in a most unusual way, and I liked it. A lot of people talk about environmental justice as the harsh reality that sometimes things that produce pollution are put in poorer neighborhoods or are cited, they end up being put in neighborhoods that don't want them but don't have the political will or means perhaps to prevent them from being cited there. You looked at it more positively. Everybody deserves access to clean air and clean water. I guess more of an assets-based approach than deficits. Yeah.
I think that's what we're trying to do here at like an Eco Leaders. We're trying to spread more awareness, trying to make everyone equal and not just have maybe richer communities having these access to these different things like clean air, clean water. So, yeah.
Anybody want to add anything to that?
I would say that what I learned the most from this is environmental health has so much to do with public health. Because public health is just like our basic human rights that we deserve, and we get a lot of that from the environment, like clean water or like even just food. We learned a lot about food apartheid and how that's very common, even just locally here in Pittsburgh. So I think that's an issue that this group really does highlight really well every week.
Let's talk about food apartheid. Do you want to define it and maybe give some examples? I think I know what you mean, but I'd love to hear it from your perspective.
Okay, so we learned about it, I think, two weeks ago.
Yeah.
Basically, whenever you think about it, there's always going to be, like, in areas with lower income, you're going to have not as much access to, like grocery stores that are plentiful and fresh produce. But then there'll always be like a corner store with like more processed foods, you know, and that's just because grocery stores, big name grocery stores, aren't going to put their stores in places with lower income just because they're not going to sell as much. But they'll sell more in a higher income community. So that has a lot to do with the separation and why you would have to drive further if you live in a lower income community to even get access to fresher produce from a farmer's market, for example. So that's probably what I would define and try to understand it as.
Yeah, and it really does break out to be bimodal almost. Is you either have access because you've got transportation and you live in an area where there's availability, or you very much fall on the other end of things. Anything else to add?
So I also wanted to add on to Alicia's point. About 2 weeks ago, we learned about a community garden, I guess, which is a really great way to like actually get access to more like lower income communities. We learned about a great community garden where they come together. They all come together and they plant food, they plant vegetables, and it's just a great thing for the community to come together to do so that they all have access to these different foods.
It's a great way to bring people together and also, you know, to lower the cost of food by growing food. These are students from the Phipps Conservatory and Botanical Gardens Eco Leader Academy. If you're just tuning in, thank you for joining us. Did you guys have special projects at all part of your time?
Yes, yes.
Did you work on one together or?
I think I could explain. So
please.
We have, I think, six categories, which are relate to environment in some way. And there were different groups that came together to create these projects, maybe trifolds and different projects that were going to present at the Youth Garden Summit. And currently we're still working on them. We haven't presented them yet. But for me and Rebecca here, we both are focusing on water and health. And yeah. I guess Alicia could tell you what she's focusing
on. Mine is actually food apartheid. That's my topic. So, yeah.
I think, Rebecca, if you could explain our little project.
Yeah, so we got to choose like what our most interested aspect was, and I think we both got our first choices. So we both chose water and health, and so basically our project, we have like a trifold, and essentially given our topic, like our project topic, we're able to choose what we want to display and what our ideas are. And so we have a section talking about the history of the water in Pittsburgh, and also just a lot of the health aspects. So since like if the water is more polluted, then obviously like it would be a lot more harmful. And also there's a lot of water waste in Pittsburgh. So that's also something that we're really focused on. If you want to add it.
Especially last week we had a talk about water in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. And it was really surprising to hear that I think it was 9 billion gallons of water that are sewage water is actually dumped into the
The
Allegheny River every single year. And it was just like crazy to hear. And it's just so much wastewater that mm-hmm. it's not just sewage water, it's rainwater and wastewater combined. So as we know, like rainwater can be used for so many things. It's because it's clean water. But here in Pittsburgh, we're combining it and we're putting it down into the Allegheny River, which is a really big problem and something we should fix.
It's been a problem for many years, combined sewer overflow, and there is some of it's being addressed with all of the repiping and changing of lines, but probably I don't think much is being done to reduce stormwater or gray water, as it's often called, reusing water. Did you get into that at all?
So we are still currently working on it, and our main topics were for our water project were like the different aspects of the Allegheny River, so the pH, the salinity, et cetera. Yeah. And we're going to talk about the health and how it directly impacts different people in Pittsburgh because of how like polluted it is and how the sewage is actually disposed of into the Allegheny River. But we haven't completed our project yet.
Well, it must have been really disturbing to learn that. I can't imagine what it would be like just to get that information to the degree that you did. Did you look at watersheds at all?
We haven't looked at them yet, but we are planning to.
Great. And you'll have ultimately a kind of a poster session on a trifold that explains your learnings at the Youth Environmental Summit. Is there a known date for that?
That is next month.
July 28th.
Thank you. I can look it up, too.
9 a.m.
Yes. Alicia's there July 28th. Do you know where?
It's at Phipps.
Excellent. Alicia, anything else, Rebecca, you wanted to say about the water project?
I think we covered all of it. Yeah, we're still working on it. So I think we'll like have the final project done within the next 2 weeks. Yeah.
Excellent. It's a great project. It's a real important one. I don't think a lot of people understand how water flows or doesn't flow to the right place. Now, Alicia, you talked a little bit about your focus, which is food apartheid. Is that a term? Honestly, that's the first time I've heard it. Heard the term food apartheid. I kind of like it. It really is a perfect way to explain what's going on. It literally, I mean, it doesn't overly simplify it to me. It just tells it like it is. Some people have access. It really is like you either got it or you don't. Is that term being used more?
I hadn't heard about it before until we were taught it a few weeks ago, and I feel like it's a perfect way to explain the situation, because before I had heard food inequality or things like that, but I think it makes sense in that terminology, especially whenever you think about how you see and we separate different communities and we judge them, but I don't think that there's a way to judge people for what they're given in their area.
Yeah. Yeah, and food insecurity, I get it, but it's not quite right. Making it people-focused, I think, is better. Now, what got you interested in choosing that topic?
This topic was my first choice. And I was really interested because I think like right after we learned about this topic is whenever we got to pick what we wanted to do for our project. And I picked this one like immediately, not just because the topic was so fresh, but also because I was very interested in learning like how deep does this go in Pittsburgh? And I've learned so much, especially in terms of like how it affects our overall health. In a community that has less access to fresh foods and like no pesticides or any of that, like you're obviously gonna have like better health, you know, like, but without that, you're gonna have more risk of different diseases or health risks that then you can't control because it's what was given to you. And then you have to deal with different health risks that you now have to maybe pay for medication that you couldn't afford already. Or since you can't afford it, then it goes untreated. And that's a major issue that also I cover in my project.
It may be too early for me to ask you this, but have you thought about solutions, or is that within the scope of your project?
Yeah. Some of the solutions that we've drafted out would be thinking about different laws or policies that restrict all of these pesticides or anything bad going into our food. I do know in the EU, like, all of this is restricted. This is, like, mandated. The food has to go through specific regulations in the EU that they don't go through in the U.S. And that's a major problem that I've seen, like, different numbers for, but it's quite shocking whenever you look at it. And I feel like those are things that should be regulated and kept in check because it does affect more people than we realize.
And that affects all people that consume food. What about getting fresh food to those who don't have access to it? Community gardens was one thing we mentioned. Mm-hmm. And I'll throw this open to all of you too, because I'm sure you all share the concern. Any ideas on how to make that situation better?
So the partners in my group, I have two partners in my group, and we were talking about it. And one of my partners was talking about how their neighborhood that they grew up in doesn't have any close or nearby farmers markets. And I was surprised because I was like, oh, I live like right up the road from a farmers market. And we talked about it and then we scoped, we like looked on the map and we were like, whoa, you live like 20 minutes or so further from the nearest farmers market. Imagine if you didn't have a car to get there. Mm-hmm. And that was an issue that we started figuring out was something very local here in Pittsburgh. So if more farmers markets or more stores that were open in communities were available, then more people would have access to fresher fruit and produce that they could then use. Also, whenever we were learning about this, we did learn about some free like home gardens that were giving food to people. That should be more common and more like accessible to people just everywhere, because like food is becoming something that is harder to like attain now just because of pricings. So having access to free produce would also be of help that is fresh and like locally grown too.
Do you want to add anything, Vinay or Rebecca?
No, I think Alicia covered all of it. I was going to talk about the nonprofit that actually came in to talk to us about the free community gardens.
Yeah. Community gardens.
They come in and they give you everything that you need for a community garden. They help you with it for 2 years, and then they just let you have everything that you grow.
Oh, that's great. Do you remember their name?
I forgot the name.
It starts with an S. They were so sweet.
Yeah.
They are actually coming to the Youth Garden Summit, and I'm going to put them in my project. Yeah. And, like, she'll be so excited that we mentioned it.
What a great idea is we'll kind of back you and support you for 2 years. And at that point, you should be sustainable, and we'll let you go on and carry it. Just a great idea. We just have a couple minutes left. I knew this was going to go quickly. First of all, do either of you generally speaking, any of you generally speaking, want to add anything about your work with the eco-stewards or about the environment?
I think me and Rebecca have something that we actually have been working on for the past few months. Mm-hmm. It's called Project Green Pulse, and we do have a website. I don't know the URL right now, but it's basically talking about how health and the ecosystem intersect and the different aspects of that. Yeah. So we've educated
over 100 students
on online, and we've had Zoom calls, and we basically show a presentation about how the environment doesn't just affect like plants and the ecosystem, it also affects humans directly. Mm-hmm. And that's a really major fact that like we just wanted to spread awareness about.
Yeah. I think we're both like very interested in health and also just like the overall environment of around us. And I think a lot of people don't realize that the environment is a very base foundation for our human health and also just like the organisms and animal health. And so we really want to spread more awareness on that. And this was like a really great project that we were able to keep doing.
Yeah, I'm glad it seems like it's kindled something in each of you. Alicia, you did not think as deeply about this issue until you heard the speaker talk about it, it sounds like. And you both learned more about the relationship between discharges and our rivers, discharges into them, as well as this other project you just mentioned. I'm curious, you mentioned, Vinay, I think that you're thinking of a medical career.
Oh yeah, I think all three of us are. Yeah, we were just talking about this before we came into the interview, but all three of us are talking about a medical career, and we really like understand that every single aspect of the ecosystem really impacts human health, like the air, the water, the soil, the food we grow. So yeah.
Well, it has been just wonderful to have you here. I know the coming year, school year, is going to be really busy, but you're welcome anytime. Maybe you want to like work on a podcast or something in our Youth Media Center. The summit is July 28th at 9 o'clock at Phipps Conservatory and Botanical Gardens, and you'll be able to see these poster sessions and also talk not just with Alicia, Vinay, and Rebecca, but other students that have been part of their teams and other teams. Thank you so much for being here.